Did you enjoy singing unaccompanied last week? Who was here? Oh, a few of you were. I gather it was quite hard work, but well done for having a go. So I'm talking to you few who were here last week as well. You'll be observant and realise that last week was Romans 10 and this week's Romans 8, yes? This is basically a holiday mess-up, why we've gone backwards. Mother Catherine was meant to preach last week on the passage we heard today on chapter 8, but God is good, as the verse says, working out his purposes for good, because it means I can preach on this chapter 8 section, and it is glorious. There should have been hallelujahs ringing out through the congregation. If we'd been a Western, Caribbean-type church, there would have been, as Malcolm read it. Time and time again, Paul is giving affirmation of our status, our life in Christ. And we've described Romans as the Himalayas of the Bible, the heights, the peaks of what Christian truth is. And chapter 8 is Everest, wonder, glory, just read it through and take it in, get it into your heart, into your being. And then these last verses are the peak of Everest, the absolute glory of what Paul says. It is our status in Christ. And there's affirmation after affirmation, and we'll look at them in a bit. But if you want a summary, there is a summary there, and I'm going to keep one of those with me, just to keep reminding myself what it is our status in Christ now that Christ has come for us, has bring us to God. And I'm sure through these summer weeks, hopefully you do know that life is good and that there is blessing and that life is fundamentally good. I don't want to bore you with our holiday tales, but I will anyway. It's been great this summer for Jenny and I. 10 days cycling across the Lake District and Pennines down to the east coast of Yorkshire. A few days with 40 or so of our church family at the New Wine Festival. Going to the Countryfile Festival at Blenheim Palace. Yeah, it's not our thing, really, to be honest, Country File Festival, but never mind. It's to see our daughter and son-in-law, Harbottle and Jonas, perform. They're screening tonight. We're hoping there might be a second of them just playing on the stage there, but there may not be at all. Have a look, Country File tonight. And then a wonderful week in France with our other daughter, Anna, and son-in-law, and, of course, granddaughter, Keris. A week that was basically spent eating, sleeping, and adoring her. They're all magnificent experiences of the essential goodness of life, a taste of the heaven that God longs for all of the people of this world, his kingdom to come. And so it's very easy in these times of holiday to regain correct perspective, to let go and bask in the goodness of life, to delight in God's goodness. So I hope and pray that you've been able to do that as well over these last weeks of the goodness of summertime and summer holidays, whether you've been at home or gone away. But what about then when the stresses come? What about when work is full on again, anxiety comes in, and also there's all of life's upsets and stresses? And what about when the further appalling events, such as the mudslide in Sierra Leone and the further terrorist atrocities in Barcelona and Finland, what about can make us doubt the goodness of life and doubt maybe a God, the presence of a God in love? In all circumstances, we need then that superb understanding of Paul in the Romans passage we have today. That statement after statement, he says, I'm going to summarize them to you. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Verse 28. God knows from the beginning of time that there are those who will love him and be his children. It is our privilege to be amongst them. Verses 29 to 30. Therefore, nothing can stand against us. Verse 31. He will graciously give us all things. Verse 32. There is no charge that can stand against us. Verse 33. We face no condemnation. Verse 34. Nothing but nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Verse 35 to 39. So we'll go through, we'll look at all of those statements a bit more in a moment. But just before that, just see the divine dance that is going on throughout our existence, through the very core of the universe. The work, the presence of God working through all, that means those affirmations are true. Divine dance is a lovely phrase, isn't it? You like it, the idea of a divine dance going on through all of our existence? It's the title of a book by Richard Rohr that Jenny is enjoying at the moment. And Jenny tells me about what she's reading. And I pick up that by the title, The Divine Dance, Richard Rohr means there's an intertwined movement of love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working through all of existence from all creation. And we see that divine dance going on in this Romans passage, the Trinitarian glory that is at work. In verse 26, Paul refers again to the work of the Holy Spirit. Time and time again, he's talking about the work of the Holy Spirit through Romans chapter 8. And he says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, interceding for us with groans that words cannot express. And if you remember your previous verses, I'm sure you do, you're paying attention as we go through Romans. In previous verses, there's been lots of groaning going on already. In verse 22, Paul speaks of the whole creation groaning. Verse 23, us groaning inwardly. And the groaning is about longing for freedom and fulfillment. And now Paul explains that in all the groaning of the creation, all of our groaning that we do, longing for our full freedom, is the Holy Spirit is in the groaning. God, the Holy Spirit, is in that plea for that groaning for liberation. And where the Spirit is, God the Father, the Creator, is also. Verse 27, he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. And then that Trinitarian dance of God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Christ the Son is there all through Romans 8, obviously. But verse 34, Christ Jesus is at the right hand of God, also interceding for us. And interceding, of course, means speaking for, on our behalf, working on our behalf. So those affirmations that Paul makes in Romans 8, they ring true to our faith, our sense, our experience that this is true because of the work of God, this divine dance going on through our existence. The God of love working throughout our lives, through the very cosmos, to bring freedom and fulfillment. So how do you respond to it? How do you respond? Sensing, knowing that this is true, of God working through, how do we respond? With simple love for God. To let go to him, to be carried along in the movement of his Spirit with utter trust that all will be well. And I'm struck again by this glorious freedom that we have in contrast to the machinations of those who say they do not believe in God, those who say they're atheists. And my own holiday reading has been Happy by Derren Brown, the magician. Anybody tried reading it? It's interesting. It's worth reading. In his younger days, Derren Brown was a committed, active Christian, but he lost his faith. This is a magician chap we know and does extraordinary things with his magic work. But he lost his faith, and he now says he's an atheist. But of course, like all honest and open people, he's still searching for meaning. And I like to read works of atheists to see how they think. And for Derren Brown, he finds meaning in the ancient philosophy of Stoicism. And it's particularly for him about the controlling of mind and emotion, giving purpose and meaning in life. And it certainly writes well with kindness and goodness. But it's a self-help book. And when I read these things, I just think how hard this is. How hard it is to keep working at the self to get the self right and what he's trying to do. And at the same time, he's trying to say there's a right way to live whilst denying there's any source or meaning or purpose behind that right way. It does seem to me that a serious atheist must find it really, really hard work working it through. And of course, our faith is hard work too. If we're not working at it, we're not getting it right. We know we have to live intentionally, and the direction of our mind, our emotions, our attitudes, inclinations is vital. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, but it's only a small part. Essentially, we let go to the God of love. We get embraced in the divine dance. We're carried along in his love for us. It is not self-help. It is God reaching down to us and drawing us along in his purposes. And so those affirmations then that ring out in glory and in truth. Caught up in the divine dance, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. We trust, we let go that God is working through the travails of this world and our own, all those groanings for good. We work, but we do not worry. We can rest, we can let go. God is at work for good. God knows from the beginning of time that there are those who love him and be his children. It is our privilege to be amongst them. There is deep wisdom in the creation of our existence. God foreknows that in a world where there is evil and sometimes chaos, there will yet be a mankind that will respond to him. He foreknows that there is a humanity that will have deep relationship with him and be conformed to the likeness of his Son. And we glory that we are part of those purposes, working, committed, but rejoicing in the glorious liberty that we have in the divine dance. And therefore, nothing can stand against us. However hard life can seem, whatever anxieties there are, when stresses and pressures come, we rejoice that we are on the winning side. If God is for us, who can be against us, declares Paul. He will graciously give us all things. We may be concerned about the future, sometimes concerns about provision for now, even getting through the day, but we can let go, trust. As God gave his own Son in love and utter agony in the divine dance, Paul then goes on to say, how will he not then graciously give us all things? There is no charge that can stand against us. We face no condemnation. Others may judge and criticize you, criticize ourselves. We may be prone to self-doubt, even self-hatred, but we can refute the voices. God, in his love in Christ, justifies us, accepts us, loves us. Nothing but nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. When life's problems come, when maybe even the things we fear the most occur, we can yet know that God is there with us. Nothing but nothing can separate us from his love in Christ. Illness, family breakdown, failure at work, unemployment, loneliness, whatever the personal problems, God is still there working for good, giving his strength, embracing you in the divine dance of love. And also in the massive world problems of war, famine, disaster, the God of resurrection is at work. The dance goes on. His kingdom will come. So I hope and pray that there will be this sense of liberation, of living in these acclamations, of peering down from the peak of Everest in Romans and seeing all the glory of our kingdom, our status in Christ, that life is intrinsically good. And even when the problems and difficulties come, we can let go and trust to the God of love and be caught up in his divine dance, knowing that all will be well. Amen.